Welcome to your podcast halftime show, sponsored by Pepsi, Geico, Coca-Cola, Chex Mix,
Pepsi Doritos, and Coca-Cola. That's a dang.
And the E-Trade, pets.com, baby.
Crypto.com.
Yes, cryptodog.com. .edu.forever. I'm your host, Addison, and you can follow me on the internet at Addison_L. And with me, as always, is my lovely dad host,
Jordan. You can follow me on the internet at Jackal27, and be sure to stick around for the midpoint in our show where Rihanna's going to perform once again, right here for you on the podcast.
Yes, she will be playing on Big Battlefield. not just Battlefield, but Big Battlefield.
I was going to say Project M Delfino Island, because that's what that stage reminded me of with the moving platforms, is Project M Delfino Island.
You can also follow the show at Pocketoid, where you will find a link to our Discord, where you can go hang out and talk about football or talk about video games or talk about what you have for lunch. It's whatever. Talk about whatever. It doesn't matter.
That's what? And there's some things you don't talk about in there.
Well, yeah, I don't post your social security number.
Yeah, don't do that.
And you can also go leave us a 5-star review on iTunes and Spotify and wherever else you can leave reviews.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I wanted to highlight that because, yeah, Spotify is taking reviews now, and I would really appreciate it if y'all would go and leave us a review on Spotify. It's very easy. I think it's just a number rating. I don't even think you have to write anything. So just go give us 5 stars on Spotify if you like the show, and it'll help us out. Appreciate it.
Hell yeah. And if you want to leave less than 5 stars, that's cool.
No, it's not. Just don't do that.
No, it's fine. Those ones just don't get put under Pocketoid. Those ones get put under TinyCast.
Yeah, those ones go.
That's where those ones go.
Those ones go under our other show's name, The Joe Rogan Experience.
I was doing a lighthearted joke, and now you've put our tiny brethren in the same breath as Joe Rogan. I did not mean to take the joke that far. I love my tiny boys.
Damn, but I would watch it. I would watch Joe Rogan interview the boys from Tiny Cartridge, if I'm being honest.
That'd be pretty funny. I'd be into that. All right. Well, that's all of the housekeeping nonsense. Jordan, you been playing any of those video games?
I have been playing a couple of video games. Let's see which video games I've been playing. I have to pull up my Nintendo Switch because I forgot. Oh yeah, I played some more Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles: Shredder's Revenge.
Nice.
It's still great. I hurt my hands because I played it a lot for like a whole day, and I was like, okay, I need to stop playing this so much. It's really fun. It's great. I like that game a lot. I don't know what else to say about it. It's, you know, probably the best Ninja Turtles beat 'em up, and it's, you know, you should buy it if you don't have it already. I also played and finished Poppin' Twinbee for the Super Famicom, which is a very good video game, and it's actually relevant to the show too, because you can also play that one on the Nintendo Switch Online SNES channel, whatever it's called, app thing. I remember when whenever it first came out, you were like, "Hey, Jordan, that game's really hard." It's really not. It has like a ton of difficulty options, and like if you drop it down to like level 1 or 2, it's super easy. In fact, it's like so easy I beat it on level 3, and then I did like 3 or 4 more runs with it progressively getting harder, because it will like, it just loops the game once you finish it. And I just like kept going, and it was a lot of fun. I liked that game a lot. What else have I been playing, Addison? More of that Theater Rhythm demo. That's still great. There's a new game that released on the eShop called WBSCE Baseball Power Pros for $1. So I bought it and played some baseball, and it's great. It's, if you don't know, it's like part of a long running series in Japan of baseball games. The best ones are on the PS2 and the Wii. Well, the ones that we've gotten anyway are on the PS2 and the Wii, and they are like basically baseball RPGs. This one is a very bare bones, just kind of arcadey baseball experience, and it's fun. It's nice. Spend a dollar on it and show them that you're interested in getting more of these cool baseball games. I also played and finished a game called Iron Lung for the Nintendo Switch. It's also on Steam and a bunch of other things. It is a short horror game made by the creator of Dusk, that boomer shooter that everybody loves and is very good. And it's a game where you, have you ever heard of Iron Lung before? It kind of made a splash last year and was
whenever I hear that, I just think of the Radiohead song.
Okay. Well, it's a game about where you are a prisoner in a dystopian future who is sent into a big red sea on a distant moon to try and find what's at the bottom of the sea, but you are only in a submarine with no windows, and the only way you have to see anything is a camera that can take like a picture, and then you can see like what the camera picked up in the photo. And so you have to,
that's really cool.
It's very cool. And you have to navigate by like using your map and like pointing your submarine. Like all you have in front of you when you're navigating is just like a little panel that has like your X and Y axis, like your location on the map. You're like, what are those called? Longitude and latitude. And then like your like axis of where you're facing. And so you have to like look at your map and be like, okay, I need to go to these coordinates. So I'm going to turn the submarine this way, and you have to like kind of see it in your mind's eye, like where you're heading. And it sounds kind of complicated, but you get used to it really quick, and it works really, really, really well for a horror game, because it just, you know, you're in this submarine where you're hearing all these creaking noises and water dripping, and you just hear all these terrifying ocean sounds outside of you, and you're in an alien ocean. You don't know what's out there, and you're just kind of taking pictures of points of interest. But sometimes those points of interest have stuff going on that you didn't expect to be there. And that's all I'll say about that. It's a good game. It's like, I think it's only like $5 and you can beat it in like an hour or two. And I liked it a lot. You should play Iron Lung. Especially if you like kind of like underwater horror or like isolated horror, or, you know, big slimy water monsters, you should play it.
How much is it?
It is like $5, I think.
Oh,
like
okay.
Max. Yeah. It's a short game, but it's, you know, definitely worth $5 for sure.
Yeah, I think it sounds really cool.
I think it originally released on like in those haunted PS1 demo packs. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Where like people make kind of like short little horror games and they release them as a pack. I think it originally released as one of those, if I'm remembering correctly, but it kind of like got so popular, they just did a standalone release of it. But damn, I'd love to see it expanded into like a, you know, 20-hour game, because it is just such a cool, unique concept, and it works really, really well, and it's super fun. So, yeah, go check that out if you want a short little, if you want a little horror short story experience. Let's see, anything else? I guess there is one big one, but we can just talk about that later if you want to.
We can save it,
or what do you want to do?
Yeah, we'll just wait.
Okay. Oh, I also checked out we can talk about that one later, too. Anyway, okay. Well, that's all of mine. Addison, you been playing anything cool?
I have. So I spent all of my tax return. Well, not all of it, but I spent all of the fun money part of that. So my life has been filled with doing some life upgrades that have taken a little bit of work to get into place.
Okay.
You're hearing that and you don't know what that means. So no. I purchased three things. The first is I bought a new desk chair because my old one was not great. I needed something that was more ergonomic. And nice. So I did that. Simple enough. The other thing I got was a AmberNIC device called the RG35XX, which is just a little fake Game Boy. I wanted to kind of upgrade from my LDK to something that was bigger, but still easily pocketable and has like a nice screen and all that. So it plays up to PlayStation, and it's just a fun little Game Boy that I've had a enjoyable time just messing around with. I limited myself to just a 16 gig card, and I've been trying to be very thoughtful with what games I put on there. So I've been trying to keep the game list down, and on there I've been playing some Pokemon Pinball because that seems like that's just what I go to when I get a new little emulation device. And I've also been playing Super Mario Land.
Oh, yeah.
And there was something else, but I don't remember. a randomized Pokemon Emerald.
Nice.
So those have kind of been the games I've been rotating between, and I've been having a lot of fun with that. I did just download some English translation games that I'm going to throw on there. A couple Fire Emblem RPGs. Not Fire Emblem, I'm sorry. Full Metal Alchemist. Why do I get Full Metal Alchemist and Fire Emblem mixed up in my head? I do not know.
I've never come close to doing that, but I think it's funny.
I don't know why. I just sometimes do. But I downloaded these English translations of some GBA Full Metal Alchemist RPGs that looked like they might be kind of fun. And then that Tomato Adventure RPG.
The
people that made Mario and Luigi.
Yeah.
And I'd always been interested in that. And I just randomly remembered that it existed and was like, I should play that. So I'm going to look into those. I also wanted to talk about Save Room. Have you heard of Save Room?
I haven't.
So Save Room is a game for personal computer. I don't believe it's available anywhere else yet. And it is a puzzle game, super simple kind of game. I picked it up for $1 on sale on Fanatical. At the time of recording, you can still do that. And this is a puzzle game that is totally just your inventory from Resident Evil 4.
Oh, hell yeah, that sounds
so
great.
So like you know, you've got that attaché case and you have to move weapons and stuff around.
Yeah.
So each level you have to like maybe combine your herbs so that you can fit everything in, or reload your guns, or combine different powders, and you're just trying to figure out how to rotate everything and combine everything so that you can fit it all into the case or use everything you have so that you're not wasting anything. And so, like I said, it's a really simple game. You've probably, if you've played Resident Evil 4, then you know what I'm talking about. There's a lot of little references to Resident Evil. They do not shy away from that. Like, you literally, like I said, are mixing those herbs together, and there's like chicken eggs in there. There's
it
like
literally is just the inventory from Resident Evil 4.
It literally is. there's like achievements that are references to the merchant in Resident Evil 4.
Nice.
Like, I've got one here that says, that's called Stranger. Now that's a weapon. And like, there's one that's like, hey, 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 thank you. Stuff like that. Like, the very first achievement you get for beating the first level is welcome. So it was a fun little game. Actually, I say that as if I finished it. I've not finished it yet. I think I have like 9 puzzles left, so it's really short. I have played through about 80-85% of the game in a matter of like an hour and a half. But like I said, I got it for $1.
Yeah.
I also played that baseball game that you were talking about, and I could not figure out how to do one of the things in the tutorial.
Was it the jump? Was it the jump and catch?
No, I think it had to do with one of like the, man, I don't remember what it was, but it was something that I just couldn't figure out.
I couldn't get the jump catch down, but I did everything else, and that really frustrated me. So I just went and played after that. You don't even really need to do it. If you just play on easy, you're fine.
Okay. I wondered if that was the case.
Yeah.
The only other game that I want to talk about other than the one is I played the demo for Slave Zero X.
Oh, shit.
And if you're not familiar with Slave Zero X, let me tell you, you will be, because this is going to be a game that we are going to talk about. So it's developed by Poppyworks and published by Ziggurat. And this is a game that is, I would describe it as a 2D Devil May Cry beat 'em up kind of game.
Yeah.
It's got these like super, super amazing animations that look kind of like Marvel versus Capcom. And it has this crazy combo system. On the store page, they are likening the game to Devil May Cry, Strider, and Guilty Gear.
Yeah, I was about to say
that. I think that's very apt.
The vibe reminds me of Strider a lot. It's like, if not the gameplay, like the vibe at least. But the gameplay is very Devil May Cry for sure.
Yeah. And they do like these crazy camera angle changes that remind me of like a Dreamcast game. Mm-hmm. And playing it, it feels like it's got that same energy as like an anime that's on the Sci-Fi Channel at like 4 a.m.
on
like a Saturday, or like I picked it up at the store and my mom did not know what I was renting.
Yeah, it definitely has like a very 90s like or 80s OVA vibe to it.
Yeah, it's super, super cool. It's a very satisfying fighting system, and I am really enjoying my time with that demo. It can be pretty challenging, mm-hmm. but it is also quite rewarding, and it's just really fun to play. And I don't know how else to really, I don't know what else to say. It's just a blast, and it has a lot of the spirit of a fighting game, but also like a run and gun beat 'em up kind of game as well.
And if you didn't realize, it's this, I don't know if you said this, but it's the same developer as Devil Engine, the shooter that I reviewed for the Switch that was fucking incredible with like one of the best soundtracks I've heard all decade. But then like that's the developer that Dangan Entertainment kind of ripped off. And so, but anyway, but it's so if you like Devil Engine or you're familiar with it at all, this definitely has the same vibe. So I'm very excited to see what it's like when it's finally released.
I guess they also did another game called Undernauts, Labyrinth of Yomi.
Yeah, that one I don't know about.
Yeah, I don't know anything about that. I just thought I'd bring it up in case you knew something about it. But but yeah, keep an eye out on that. Because that looks, well, it doesn't look, it is great. Also, Jordan, did you know that you can just buy Advent Rising on Steam?
Yes, I did, actually.
I clicked on Ziggurat, the publisher of Slave Zero X, and one of their featured games here is Advent Rising, $9.99.
Yep.
That's a steal.
That's great.
Well, the other game that we keep dancing around, you probably have figured this out by now, but as we are one to do, we tempted fate by recording, and then Nintendo Direct happened. And in that Direct, they just announced and same day released a remaster of Metroid Prime. And I think I, you know, said remake because it kind of might as well be a remake.
Yeah, if they're counting that Last of Us Part One as a remake, I'm counting this as a remake.
Yeah, because it looks way different.
Yes, very
like,
different.
It is wild.
Yeah, and they've definitely like added extra geometry and like completely redone the lighting, like everywhere. And, you know, completely redone all the textures, like remodeled the enemies. It's nuts. It's incredible.
Like there was a PC kind of remaster of Metroid Prime that was done by fans, Don't Tell Nintendo, called Prime Hack. And it, you know, changed around the control scheme and everything. And I didn't put it on my Steam Deck, but it was there somehow. So I went ahead and played it. And I was thinking, yeah, they're going to put out a Metroid Prime remaster and it's going to look a lot like this. And I won't need to get it because I've got Prime Hack. And then they showed that trailer and was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I kind of lost my mind. I was not expecting that at all. And I extra wasn't expecting for it to just be like $40 when I know people on Twitter kind of took what I said out of context because I said, I can't believe this game is only $40. But the reason I said that is not because I think like, you know, that it's, you know, a steal at $40, which I think it's worth $40. It's just that like they released that Skyward Sword remaster for $60. And a couple other remasters for $60, and I was just like, but this is the one they released for $40? That's very surprising to me when it's like rebuilt from the ground up, aside from like, you know, the gameplay and the animations, all the visuals are completely redone. And that's just kind of nuts because it seems like a massive undertaking.
And some people would say like, oh, well, you know, this re-release of this game on the Switch has this new thing or it has this. And for the most part, like those little additions are not that much. And I mean, you could say the same thing about this Metroid Prime remaster because they have added, you know, a lot of new just extra little things in the extras menu. Yeah. As far as like looking at some concept art and figures. I believe the original game had some of that, but I'm pretty sure they've added a lot more of it in this.
You know, I just realized, then also, I wonder if the fusion suit is still in there somewhere. I wonder if that's still an unlockable you can get somehow. Since you can't connect Metroid Fusion, it'd be cool if...
Oh.
What would be really cool is if they released...
Hmm.
Did they release Metroid Fusion yet? I don't think they did on the...
No.
Okay. Uh-uh. Really cool is if they released Metroid Fusion, and if you have the Nintendo, like... pass and get Metroid Fusion, then you unlock the fusion suit in the Metroid Prime remaster. That'd be very cool. People will be pissed, but I think it'd be cool.
I can absolutely see them doing that.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, oh, maybe like you'll have to, you know, use an amiibo or something. But
that'd actually be rad too.
I think if that was the case, they would have said it by now.
Yeah. For sure.
But yeah, they completely redid those visuals, and they also have like changed up the audio as well.
Mm-hmm.
I was playing docked in my living room, and this was like one of the few games that I've played since upgrading my sound in there where I've really noticed audio cues behind me.
Mm.
So like I'll go through a door and I can hear it close behind me.
That's actually that's wild. That's in the original game as well. There's actually
Is it?
Yeah, one of the boss fights is actually built around like listening. I mean, it's hard in stereo, but one of the boss fights is built around listening for an enemy behind you that's going to pop up. So I'm like 90% positive that was in the original as well. I could be wrong about that, but I think it was. But either way, it sounds fantastic. Like that's one of the things is like I had some folks in my replies on Twitter being like, duh, 20-year-old game. And I'm like, yeah, but Metroid Prime plays better than 90% of the stuff that releases today. Like it plays fantastic still.
It does not play like a 20-year-old game.
No.
And this certainly does not look like a 20-year-old game.
No,
this
it
looks
doesn't.
Like, I swear, if Metroid Prime never existed and this just came out at $60 like today, I think people would lose their mind.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. It's very much like a... And I'm playing it this time. I think Metroid Prime was my first Metroid game. Fusion might have been my first, but I'm pretty sure it was Metroid Prime. And so for me, like... I don't think I really appreciated it at the time just because I was like, oh, people are saying it's going to be like a Halo killer. Okay. And then I went into it and I was like, what the fuck is this? Because I hadn't played, you know, Super Metroid or whatever. And now, like, looking back on it, there really isn't anything else like it. There's not a lot of first person shooters out there that are like very exploration based, like platforming based, like maybe like Titanfall, honestly. But it's just like, it's a very,
I think that's a stretch.
No, it is. But I'm saying, like, you know, with the platforming elements and things, it's like, that's, but with the way the movement is, the way the progression is, the way the shooting is and the boss designs and stuff, you just don't see many first person shooters that are designed like this. Even now, there's just kind of nothing else like it. So it still feels super fresh.
I think the closest thing that I could compare it to, honestly, at least like just off the top of my head, is Mirror's Edge.
Yeah.
And even that is, you know,
big stretch. Yeah.
Kind of. Sure. Yeah. But, you know, talking about the first person platforming and exploration and stuff, that's the only thing that's really coming to my mind. But yeah, it still feels so good and does such a good job of telling a story that you can get as involved or, you know, stay uninvolved as you want, because you've got your scanning visor and you can just, you know, go through, scan everything and be like, okay, so, and then this room they were working on, you know, mutating these creatures that are native to the planet, and clearly this happened, or clearly this enemy I ran into a few rooms back was a result of this or that.
I still remember as a kid, like scanning the space pirates, like the dead ones, and being like, you know, it would say like dead. It was like space pirate death cause like severed spine or something. And just thinking like, holy shit, this is a Nintendo game. Like, but it's technically, yeah. It's technically not like, you know, super visually violent, but like some of the ways like, what are those called? The, you know, the logbook entries are written and stuff is like really creative and really well done. I've actually seen some people mention that, some of those are a little rewritten for the remaster, to where the wording is like, the wording is a little, just like it just translated a little better, or it just like, if it's giving you a hint, they've rewritten it a little bit to where it's more clear, like what you're supposed to be doing there, which I appreciate.
Okay.
Because I've always kind of found, this is like my one complaint about the game. I've always found the progression in Metroid Prime to be kind of challenging, even for like someone like me who's played a lot of Metroid games, partially because the map is a little different than the 2D Metroid games. Like it doesn't, for instance, if you go in a room in like Super Metroid or Metroid Fusion, it'll like be a certain color if there's still an item to find in there. You know, they don't do that in this game. And so like, there's sometimes where I'm like, oh, I don't know how to, you know, where I should go next or whatever, but there are a few things here and there that I can't remember. Like there's a little hint system and I can't remember if that was in the original release or not. But it's like, there's a couple little things like that I'm like, oh, I would have liked to have seen them maybe like improve the map a little bit, or maybe change this a tiny bit. But I mean, honestly, it's still pretty much a 9 out of 10 game. So
that's my biggest complaint, I think. And, you know, I say biggest complaint, it's not that big of a complaint.
Yeah.
I just wish that I could drop little pins on the map.
Or, oh, yeah, that'd be good, too.
Set a waypoint and get some sort of visual cue. Because I would say, you know, once or twice, well, that's probably being pretty forgiving on myself. But a few times when I play the game, I will have to bring up the map and like look at it and be like, okay, I think I need to go this way, and it, you know, I'll have to go down this hallway, and then I'll have to really pay attention to the mini map to make sure I'm going the right way. But also part of that is really rewarding and is a lot of what classic Metroid games were.
Yeah.
So
you got to remember, this was the first Metroid game made after Super Metroid. So there's still, you know, there's stuff in here that, you know, they implemented in later games, even in Fusion, that wasn't, you know, quite available yet. So it's, I don't know. It could just be kind of tied back to some of those older elements, but that's also kind of a good thing. 'Cause like Samus isn't babbling the whole way through the game. There's still a huge sense of like isolation and mystery. Honestly, maybe the best sense of that in the whole series. And yeah, it's, God, I don't know. I like it. It's great. It's fantastic.
Yeah, It's just so good. And at $40, it feels like a steal. Like
it does, like, honestly. I'm usually the person who's like, ah, fuck a remaster. I'll just play the original. I own the original on the Wii and the GameCube, and this still, I was like a no-brainer, because it's a fantastic remaster. It's really fun.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at other games that you can buy for $40, there's other good options, but none of them, like, are anywhere close to this.
Yeah, to Metroid Prime. It's like, and yeah. Also, like, I think because, like, I've mainly been playing it on my TV because, like, the sound system and the visuals, but, like, it looks just as good in handheld mode, and you can just take Metroid Prime with you and it looks fantastic and plays fantastic. And that's, I mean, for me, that's worth $40. It costs as much as a fucking 3DS game. Like, come on. It's like,
yeah,
anyway.
Like, this is the same amount that you would pay for, you know, the expansion to whatever game. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. It's just wild.
Like a season of DLC, like, easily. I do have a couple of niggling issues with the remaster itself, but they're more just like preference things. I've been watching, like, more comparison videos and seeing, like, how it differs from the originals more. And there's a couple things that I actually did notice the first time I started playing. Like, for instance, like, the rain effects are much more sparse, like, in the remaster. Like, in the original, it looks like there's way more of, like, a downpour when you're outside, but in this, it's, like, a little more sparse. And the same thing with the snow when you get to whatever drifts, Pandora drifts. like it's fucking Avatar. No, whatever it's called. Whenever you get there, like, the snow is a little more sparse than it is, like, in the originals, which I was kind of like, you know. There's also an effect in the original Metroid Prime where I remember very specifically when you would, like, shoot your beam down a hallway, there was, like, real-time lighting for, like, the bullets that you shot. Like, you would see it on the walls, like, travel down the hallway. And they took that out for this release, which I was a little bummed to see. But I think, I'm trying to remember if that was missing in the Wii version or not, because the Wii version was missing a few of those cool, like, graphical effects, and this remaster put them back in, like the water physics and just a few little things like that. Like, steam bursting up on the screen was, like, missing from the Wii version. And so I'm wondering if this is actually based on the Wii version possibly, and, like, maybe that lighting effect was missing and they just didn't put it back in, or maybe it was a performance reason that they didn't put it back in. I don't know. Because it also runs at a silky smooth 60 frames per second, which is awesome to see. Because how many times do we get, like, an awesome remaster, and then because of all these effects they've added, it still runs at, like, 30 FPS, you know? So, yeah, it's cool to see it still running at 60. I'm trying to think what else they changed. There's just, it's really just a couple of small things. Like, for instance, like, in the original, and some of it's just taste. Like, in the original, when rain hits your gun, there's, like, little splashes, and they're just little 2D kind of animations. But in this one, there's no splashes, but it looks almost, like, more realistic because the rain just kind of hits your arm and just kind of, like, drips down the side of it or, like, down the back of it, which is also an extremely cool effect. So it's, like, almost, you know, it's like, I still feel like there's enough changes here, like, there's enough reasons to, like, go back and play the original as well at some point, but, like, it's just another awesome version of Metroid Prime. Another thing was, like, I was looking at, like, some footage, and, like, you know, when you did your, like, charge beam, there was, like, more, like, colors mixed in to your, like, blast. It wasn't just straight, like, orange. There'd be, like, some purples in there too. And I was like, oh, that's cool. And I miss a couple of those little tiny details, but, like, I mean, it's just, like, the most minutiae, like, the most minute changes. It's just, you know, a couple of little things I've noticed here or there. The only thing I've heard some people consistently bring up, and specifically one of the developers of the original Metroid Prime, who was very incensed by this change, is they fucked up the doors.
Yeah.
Did you see that thread that he did about it?
I didn't see the thread, but I heard about it, and I think I saw one of the screenshot comparisons.
Yeah,
a GIF comparison.
When I saw the GIF comparison, I was like, okay, yeah, like, I would have preferred maybe that's something they can change in, like, an update or whatever, but it's really, unless you're, like, looking for it, it's probably not something you're going to notice. But I can see how, like, you know, because you are, I mean, they're an element of every, you know, room that you enter, so I can see how, you know, they put so much work into, you know, the doors animating and looking and being lit a certain way. And it's, they are changed quite a bit. So it's like, yeah, it isn't going to look exactly like the original Metroid Prime. There's, you know, there's textures are redrawn, surfaces have completely different reflections. Even like her ship has like details put into it and little bits of it changed from the original design. And it's like, so, you know, to me, it just feels like another awesome version of Metroid Prime. But, you know, I've heard a lot of people describe it as like, it doesn't look exactly like Metroid Prime, but it looks how you remember Metroid Prime looking, which is always like, I think, kind of the highest praise you can give a remaster. And goddamn, that lighting, it just like, it shows the power of baked lighting that I've been touting for so long. Like, I think I've made like 3 or 4 Twitter threads about this at some point, but like baked lighting can be so powerful. Like, it can look so good if you just have a very intentionally designed game rather than like, you know, a big open world. And if you just are able to position your lights where you want them, and it just can look incredible, even in a game that's running on hardware as old as the Switch. And so, yeah, it's just great to see that back again and getting so much praise from people. Yeah, I don't know. Metroid Prime's a good video game. That's my hot take.
Yeah, I would agree with that hot take. The only other thing I really want to add is I've seen a lot of people point this out. I don't know where in the process this would have been decided, but a lot of people pointing out that the credits for the original game are missing from this remaster.
Ooh, I don't like that. Don't like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's a shame.
Yeah, I'd never that like whenever, is not they, great. Whenever they do that shit. But I think Nintendo's done that before too. I'm never a fan of that, but you know, whatever. Maybe that's something they can add in later. But yeah, like I said though, I still feel like I recently purchased a physical copy of Metroid Prime for the GameCube. Just because it feels like a game I should have. Like, I think that and Wind Waker were like the reasons I bought a GameCube. So I was like, okay, I need to own a physical copy of this. And it's like, I don't feel mad that I bought that now that this remaster is out, because I think like, if I ever want to play it again, I'll probably go back and play it on the GameCube to like, you know, to observe the differences. It's a very good video game. Unfortunately, it's not like 50 hours long, so you can easily replay it or whatever. It's just fantastic. And I'm gonna quote, I saw the new Digital Foundry video go up today, and I'm gonna quote their title of the video, which is Metroid Prime is a Nintendo Switch essential.
And yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna give it a
I would agree with
I'm
that.
I'm gonna give it an essential. I think it's fantastic.
Yep. I totally agree.
Now, all right, now hold on. Here's the real question. Someone asked me this and I couldn't answer it. Would you recommend this or Metroid Dread to someone first?
Oh my God. I think this, honestly. That's a hard decision, but I think Metroid Prime is more accessible and more welcoming. And I think it does. Man, I mean, they're both very much a Metroid-ass Metroid.
Yeah.
But I just think it's a more beautiful world and more enjoyable to explore than it is in Dread. This is like Breath of the Wild, and Dread is like Resident Evil 2.
I don't understand that comparison at all.
Okay, but here's what I'm trying to say is it's like a super low stress, enjoyable game versus a stressful and scary ass game.
Okay, I can see that. Like Dread's a little more intense, is what you're saying?
Yeah, like okay. Dread is a lot more to take on than Metroid Prime is.
For me, I think like Dread is a lot more to take on in the combat sense, but this is a little more to take on in like the exploration sense. I don't know. I kind of feel like Prime is maybe the best starting point if you haven't played a Metroid game. Maybe Zero Mission first, and this is a close second.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I mean, if we're just talking Metroid as a whole, Zero Mission is always going to be the one I recommend people start with because I think it holds up really well.
Yeah.
It's a remake of the very first game. It, you know, is a good primer for what a Metroid game is.
Primer.
The art holds up really well. The music is great. Zero Mission is fantastic. And it, you know, sounds like people are going to have that option relatively soon.
Yeah. Anyway, it's great. I'm glad it exists. I love it. I do not regret my purchase one bit. I remember like making the purchase and being like, I guess I'm going to pay $40 for this. It was so funny because like when they announced the remaster, I was like, oh, I don't need that. And then I got on Twitter and started seeing people post the little visual details. And I was like, fuck, I'm going to buy it. Because like that's what sells me on a video game is the fact that the rain slides down your gun in whatever direction you're facing. It's like... That's the shit that makes me spend my $40.
I had to run like straight to the gym after the direct, but while I was at the gym, I brought up Twitch and just did a search for Metroid Prime and just watched someone play through the beginning of the remaster. And I was like, all right, yep, I'm going to be buying this.
Yeah, but it was like, it's like I remember spending the $40 and being kind of like, I don't know, man. And then as soon as I booted it up and just saw that title screen in like glorious 1080p and just watched that, like the whole time I was like watching all these cutscenes I know so well pop up, I was just like losing my mind because they look so good. And the lighting, like they've also done like specific lighting for the cutscenes that makes them look like almost pre-rendered. They're so good. It's wild. Anyway, yeah, it's an essential. You should buy it.
Absolutely.
Especially if you haven't played Prime, but even if you have, I'd still say it's 100% worth adding to your collection.
Yep, totally. All right, let's run down this direct real quick.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, here it is. Sorry, I thought I didn't have it, but I do. So we got a new look at Pikmin 4 and a release date.
Yeah.
And
was this the announcement of Pikmin 4, like the reveal, or was it like, did we already know about it?
We knew about it, and okay, they had a small trailer before, but this was the one that showed us like in-game footage and kind of gave a hint as to the new mechanics and all of that.
Okay.
And there's a fucking dog.
Yeah, he looks great. I love him. Them, yes. Her. I don't know.
I love Pikmin. It's so good. And god damn it, I'm going to make you play a Pikmin game, Jordan.
Yeah, I mean, I own a couple of them now. I need to play them.
Yes, I agree. I agree that you need to play them.
The thing that's stopping me, honestly, is I've heard that the first game on GameCube has some like old mechanics, like the timer mechanic and stuff that people really don't like. But the Wii version fixes some of those outdated things from the first game. But the Wii version's expensive of the first Pikmin. And then I hear that the second game is terrible on the Wii, but way better on the GameCube. And the GameCube version of Pikmin 2 is very expensive. So I'm like, damn it. I don't know what to do. Because I had originally planned to buy the first one on GameCube, get the second one on Wii. But you should do the opposite. So I don't know. We'll see. I'll get to it.
Well, if only there were other options.
Yeah, I know. I'll get to it.
All right. So we also got Game Boy and Game Boy Advance titles added to the Nintendo Switch Online. So if you have just regular Nintendo Switch Online, then you have access to the Game Boy Color games. But if you have the expansion pass, you have access to the Game Boy Advance titles.
Yep.
And they did a really good job.
Yeah. Like I actually kind of did a little teardown of the emulators, and they've done a great job. Like they actually have some settings in here, like where, you know, it just says reproduce classic feel, which I kind of wish was a little more specific. But it basically like, number one, the first thing I did, and you don't even need the classic feel setting for this, is they've manually adjusted the color palettes to like actually match how they should look. And they look great. You know, the Game Boy Advance games like don't look super washed out. They've actually matched the, you know, or adjusted the like really garish colors on the Game Boy Advance games that have those to like kind of soften the look a little bit. Like for instance, Mario Kart Super Circuit is one of the first ones I always think of when it comes to that. It has like a kind of more soft, like a softer, more desaturated look. But then Mario and Luigi Superstar Saga didn't have that, so it just looks the same as like the raw color palette. And then Legend of Zelda Minish Cap is like somewhere in between. And so I really appreciate that on the GBA games, they did that. On the Game Boy and Game Boy Color games, they've just applied an overall, like, well, especially for Game Boy Color, an overall filter that makes the makes those garish colors that everyone complains about with the Game Boy Color into the more, you know, desaturated pastel looking colors. And some people I've seen complain about this because they're used to playing Link's Awakening DX on an emulator for the last 20 years. But I'm like, man, like, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. Those are the colors that it's supposed to look like. So I don't know. It's like, obviously, like, that's how they wanted it to look because that's how they designed it. So, but on top of those things, they've also added these settings for, you know, to introduce the classic feel. And what that means is it adds like a little LCD grid filter, which, you know, I appreciate. It looks pretty good. The Game Boy one actually, I think, looks really solid, and I'm really glad that they included a Game Boy Color version too. Or sorry, a Game Boy Pocket version too, because those are my preferred Game Boy colors personally.
That's what I have mine set to. Yeah,
and I really like it with the little LCD grid. I think the grid looks nice. My only complaint is that they also added something I think is essential for playing Game Boy and Game Boy Advance games, which is a mode that adds like just a hint of motion blur. Because if you don't know, and I'm actually doing a project about this right now, the original Game Boy screen and Game Boy Color screen and Game Boy Advance screen all had really low refresh rates. So developers would utilize that low refresh rate to turn flickering graphics into transparencies. But of course, now with our high refresh screens, you just see those visuals flicker and it doesn't look right. And, you know, we don't have any games on the services yet where that's a massive deal, but there are a few out there. Like if you play Wave Race for the Game Boy, it's so annoying to see the UI flicker constantly. Oh my God. Cause it takes up like a quarter of the screen. And in, you know, the F-Zero games for Game Boy Advance, you know, to watch the mini map flicker the whole time is also annoying. And so I'm glad they added that option in there, but they tied it to the LCD grid. And so I'm like, for me, that's fine, but I would understand if someone's like, I don't really want this LCD grid on the screen, but I do want the accurate refresh rate settings. But you can't pick those two settings independent of each other. You just have to turn them both on or both off. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so it's like, they did a really good job. They still need more options in these emulators, personally, is what I think. But compared to like, God, the god-awful like CRT filter they have for the other ones, they knocked it out of the park. They did a really good job on these, and I love to see it.
Yeah, I think that they are. I mean, you know way more about that stuff, so I can't even like begin to like follow your take on that up. But I think it looks great, and of course that would happen the same fucking day I got my fake Game Boy in the mail. I was like, you have got to be kidding me.
That's funny.
Why?
I do like these though, just for like I was on my couch playing I think it was Link's Awakening or something on my Switch screen. And I've been so used to playing on like real Game Boy hardware lately for this thing that I'm writing. I was like, it feels very, really fucking weird to see Link's Awakening on this giant screen, like in my lap. And that was just, you know, it's fun. It's nice to have and to turn them on. My favorite thing about them is that it makes these games just immediately more accessible and relevant to like people that have not played them before or just never really think about them. Because I've had people contact me and be like, you know, oh man, Minish Cap's great. I've never played it before. And like, that's cool to me. Like I love that. Mm-hmm. And I guess on that note too, I actually forgot to mention something I've been playing, which is I spent like a whole night where I just booted up, Kuru Kuru Kururin. I think that's how you pronounce it, which is this game they released for the GBA. I think it came out in Europe, but it didn't come out in the US. And it's a first party Nintendo game. The main character is like in Smash Brothers and stuff as an assist trophy. But you play as this little bird piloting this ship that has these big, long wings. And essentially, you're this rotating line trying to move yourself through these tight corridors without hitting walls. And it always sounded like a miserable experience to me. Like, I was always like, that game does not sound like something I'd be interested in. It does not sound very fun. But, you know, it's here on my Switch. It was the first game on the Game Boy Advance screen. I was like, you know what? I've never played this. Sure, I'll boot it up. And I played it for like 3 hours. And this game fucking rules. And I think it's in my like top 15 or 20 Game Boy Advance games now. It's really, really good. And if you've never played it before, I highly recommend checking it out because I did not think I would be into it. But damn, it's a lot of fun and just has like a great... and I think with like the Game Boy Advance's adjusted palette, those pastel colors, it just feels like just perfect. It's got like a little kind of, you know, Kirby or Legendary Staffy kind of vibe to it. And I love it. It's a good game. So go play. Go check out Kudu Kudu, whatever. It's free if you have the Game Boy Advance games.
And on the Game Boy Color side of things, I've been playing Wario Land 3. And don't know if you know
Fuck
this.
Yeah.
That game's great.
Yeah. There's just a video that came out recently, so. Like a video essay by someone I follow. That's called Wario Land 3 is Nintendo's best game. And I was just like, I read that title and I was like, I can't argue with you. Like, it's really good. So yeah, that game rocks.
Yeah, it rules. That's been my go-to classic game on the Nintendo Switch lately.
Hell yeah.
But we also got a new trailer for Breath of the Wild 2, aka Tears of the Kingdom. And I don't want to see anymore. I just want the game.
I don't think they're gonna do anymore. I think you're just gonna get it. I think that was the final trailer, honestly.
Did they not say that they're doing like a Zelda only direct, or did I just make that up?
Did they? I don't think they did.
That might have just been a rumor thing.
Yeah.
That I don't know.
I have a theory that there's a lot more going on in that game than they're letting on. Like, with how little they've shown of it. I think there's like something they're hiding. I have a theory, and it's going to sound so fucking stupid, especially if it's wrong. But what if Link goes to the moon? Because the original pitch for Breath of the Wild was like a sci-fi Zelda game. And there's been all this stuff around the moon and like, you know, the red moon, and then the monsters go crazy. And I'm like, what is up with that? And now you've got all this shit about him going into the sky and all of these devices he can build. What if Link goes to the fucking moon, Addison?
My theory is a lot less exciting, but I think that there's going to be some sort of time travel element to things.
Ooh, that'd be cool.
There was a little bit in that trailer where the way the music sounded, it sounded like it was going in reverse to me while Link was moving forward.
They do that all the time, though. They did that. They've done that with Skyward Sword and Breath of the Wild, though, with the reverse music thing. Because then you play it forward and it's like Zelda's Lullaby or something. But maybe you're right. I don't know. It's possible.
I don't know.
Because there also was some time travel shenanigans in that there Hyrule Warriors Breath of the Wild game. So that is possible. That would be very interesting to see.
We will see. Yep. I just want it. I just want it now. And me too. I don't want it. Anything else about it. I just want the damn game.
I'm very glad I pre-ordered it for $60 when I had the chance. Thank you for that tip, Addison.
I saw it was like the night before the direct, they were like refreshing the pages and Zelda's $70. Yep. Like, better lock this in.
I got a funny little glimpse, like, because I feel like Twitter melted down about the Zelda being $70 thing, which like is understandable. I think it's kind of dumb, but I just to get the normie take on this, I always like talking to our friend April about this shit because she like grounds me in like how most people perceive this kind of thing. Because I was like, oh man, did you hear about the Zelda price hike? And she was like, oh no, I didn't. How much is it? I was like, it's $70. And she was like, oh, who gives a fuck? She was like, it's Zelda. She's like, you know what? I'd pay $100 for that game. And I was like, yeah, you know what? You're right. Like, it will definitely be worth that. And I mean, I don't even have to complain because I locked it in for $60. But it's like, yeah, she's right. Like, it's like, whatever. They know it's worth $70, and they're probably right.
And it seems like the pre-orders on the other games that were happening in the Direct have not been $70. So yeah. I don't know. It makes me kind of wonder if there's something else that we, that something else is going on. I don't know. But
I don't know, man.
Yeah.
It also makes me wonder if they're just testing the waters for the Switch 2 having $70 games. That's what I think is going on. But
yeah. But I mean, if any game is going to get away with that, it's going to be this sequel to Breath of the Wild.
Yes. So. For sure. What else did we get in
okay.
the Direct?
Okay. So we're not covering everything in the Direct. We're just kind of covering the things that really make the brain juices go. And the next one is, I just want to briefly mention that this Mickey game, Illusion Island, looks so good.
We're all joking that it looks like Rayman Origins, which I think is like, yeah, that's true. Like, it looks were you in the group chat when we were watching, everyone was watching together?
Yeah, I was streaming it.
Oh, duh. Yeah, yeah. I didn't know if you could hear us all or whatever, but everybody was, they're all like, this looks like a game from 2010. And then I was telling everyone, like, there's going to be zoomers on Twitter saying, oh my God, they finally made a game that looks like my favorite games from when I was from 2010. Cause it looks a lot like Rayman Origins, just the animation style and stuff. But
yeah, I just think it looks really cool. And it, like, I don't know. I think it looks like it'll be a lot of fun, and it looks like it's going to be a $40 game, and it has some really cool looking co-op gameplay. Looks great. Next, I feel like Jordan will yell at me if we don't talk about the Etrian Odyssey collection.
Oh, I don't.
That was announced.
I'm not like a massive Etrian Odyssey fan, but I think it's cool. I was actually a little disappointed with it because it's only 1 through 3, and I was like thinking it was going to be like 1 through 5, which is like, I think it's kind of silly that it's just 1 through 3, but whatever. I mean, I'm glad. It seems like they're just making that collection so they can have the engine ready for when they start making HD Etrian Odyssey games. That's my theory.
Also, they are charging $80.
What the fuck? Are you serious?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's dumb.
You missed that?
Yeah, I did. I thought it was like $20 a game and it was like 60 total.
No, it's $80 for all of them.
Oh, that's fucking stupid. Yeah, okay. That's real dumb.
Yeah. It's a real shame.
Oof.
I think I forget how much they were going to be separate. I think it was like maybe $40
to buy them. Dear God. That's so dumb.
I don't quote me on that. I could be wrong on that.
Well, it's also equally dumb because they already remade 1 and 2 for the 3DS, and those were $40, but they like remade them as like, you know, whole new games with like new story and new characters and all of that. So that's extra silly if that's $40. I could see it maybe being $30, but even that that's dumb. That's very dumb. Oh, well.
Yeah, maybe that's what it was. Maybe it was $30 each. Yeah. That would make more sense because then you're saving $10 when you buy the whole collection.
Stupid.
All right.
Don't like that.
We have a new release date for Advance Wars 1 and 2 Reboot Camp.
Yeah.
Which is April 21st. I was thinking that I wasn't going to pick this up, and then I got an email from Target and was like, right, I locked that in at $40. I forgot. So I guess I'll keep that.
Yeah. I mean, I bet that's going to be fun. It looks great. Like, I love that.
Yeah, it looks,
the animation on that opening and the gameplay always look nice. So I'm sure it'll be fun.
I'm sure it's going to be great. It's, you know, a good team behind it, and it's Advance Wars, and I hope it does well so that we get more of it. It's, you know, a weird thing of being like, hey, let's play Advance Wars, you know, while the world's on fire. But I mean, a Call of Duty game comes out every year.
And then there's and those games have literal propaganda in them. So,
yeah. Oh my God. Let's not get started on that.
Yeah.
Let me see. What should we talk about next? I would like to touch on the fact that they announced a new Fantasy Life.
Oh yeah.
Like,
level 5 had a
did not
bitch.
See that coming.
Can we just hit like all the level 5 announcements really fast so we can just talk about this as one chunk?
Yeah, I'm gonna forget all of them, so you just tell me what they were.
I don't have a list in front of me, but I know there was Fantasy Life. I know we got a new Professor Layton announcement.
Right, Professor Layton.
There was also that new detective game, whatever that's called. I can't remember the name of it.
Oh, Deca Police.
Yeah, Deca Police. And then I think there was one more thing that was a level 5 game. It was kind of just, it's just kind of insane that like level 5's been gone for like a very long time and then just came out swinging with like 4 new games that all seem like pretty damn big releases. And all looked really good too. They all looked really solid. Oh, there's also that's Capcom, isn't it? Spirit Detective? That's Capcom.
Oh, Ghost Trick?
Ghost Trick. Yeah, whatever. God, I'm thinking like Yu Yu Hakusho.
Yeah, that's Capcom.
Yeah, Ghost Trick's Capcom. I think there was one other thing, though, that was level 5, but I don't remember.
Well, I was going to ask if they had anything to do with the Baten Kaitos remakes.
No, those are
mono. Not remake, but remaster.
Those are remasters. You want to talk about the difference between a remake and a remaster? Those are remasters.
Yeah, those are definitely a remaster.
Yeah.
Will probably not be picking those up, but I'm happy for everybody else who is.
Yeah, they're Monolith Soft games, and I think they're good games, but it's also like, this is the ideal way to release them because the originals are just so expensive now. But I'm also like, I don't think it's not like they're good, but you're not missing out on like this incredible experience by, you know, not playing them. They're fine. I like them, but the reason they were so notable is because there were no RPGs on the GameCube.
Hey, they had Skies of Arcadia.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, and that was like a Dreamcast port. It's like these were like the original RPGs for the GameCube besides like Tales of Symphonia, which is also getting a remaster. Anyway, so yeah, Level 5 had a really cool showing, and I think Fantasy Life for us probably is the one that stood out the most. But I love that it looks like they've added a lot of Animal Crossing elements to it, as well as like all the mm-hmm. RPG stuff. I like the look of it a lot. I liked the first Fantasy Life, but I wasn't like insane about it like some people were. So I'm hoping this one can grab me a little more. I also, that Deca Police game looks pretty fucking cool, even though it's...
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah, it's just cops everywhere, but it still looks really fun. I hope it's good, because it kind of gave me a bit of Astral Chain vibes, just from like the investigation stuff. And that was one of my favorite parts of that game. So I'm interested to see if it turns out well. But...
Well, we should definitely talk about the biggest announcement of the entire Direct, don't you think?
What was that?
They're putting Birdo in Mario Kart 8 Deluxe.
Hey, that's rad, though, and also that Yoshi course does look fantastic.
Yeah, it does. Hell yeah, Birdo. Got a new main. Oh my God, I completely forgot about actually one of my favorite announcements from this whole Direct. And that is We Love Katamari Reroll plus Royal Reverie.
Oh, nice.
So ever since they announced Katamari Damacy Reroll, which is like Katamari is like one of my favorite things ever. I was just like, okay, that's awesome. Thank you. Now do the best one, which is We Love Katamari. And they are. And they're adding like new content to it.
Oh,
and,
hell yeah.
I'm real stoked because We Love Katamari is an amazing game. So cannot wait for that.
I have not played We Love Katamari, just the first one. So I'm very interested to see how that turns out and what that new content's like.
So then we also had like some demos and more trailers for some JRPGs such as Octopath Traveler 2,
which looks really
and
good.
Sea of Stars.
I hear that demo is fantastic, but it doesn't come out till like August. Yeah. So I think I'm just gonna wait.
I want to play that demo real bad. I think we've pretty much covered everything. Everything else kind of just seems like it's stuff that we've either seen before or didn't really get too excited about.
Okay.
Just give it another scroll through, and yeah, I think that's pretty much it. I guess also shout out to Samba de Amigo.
Bitch. Yeah.
It's like they're still out there doing it. That's wild.
I've never played one of those games. I own it for the Wii, but I've never played any. But I hope it's good. It looks nice. I like that we're seeing a bit of a rhythm game renaissance lately. It's pretty cool. I'm happy for the Samba perverts out there.
All right, let's do a speed run of some listener questions real quick.
Okay.
So we've got Brains asking, eShop is closing. You've never downloaded any games. Ooh, you've got shit. $50 and no idea what hacking is. How do you spend your eShop credit on 3DS? I like that Das Whale Beard said, give somebody $50 to hack it. I really liked that answer. So
I didn't see that. That's man, really good. I've got my answer. Limited, I've got my answer immediately. You ready? You just go to the eShop and you search Guild 01 and then you buy all those games and you're done.
Okay. That's a solid. I thought you were going to say Dimpamin, Dimpamin 2, Dimpamin 3.
That's also a good one.
I would say Pocket Card Jockey.
Yeah.
Sakura Samurai.
Oh, shit. And Pushmo. Yeah, too.
Yeah, and Pushmo and Attack of the Friday Monsters. And you're probably at $50 right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's probably my answer.
God, I love Sakura Samurai. What if I replayed that game for like the seventh time? It's been a while. It's been a while. That game's great.
Goblin Heath said that the easy answer is Sonic Lost World for 3DS and Attack of the Friday Monsters.
Sonic Lost World? No. I can agree with him Rebecca on the second one, though.
Rebecca said, forget about the eShop and get four copies of Lego Rock Band for Nintendo DS.
These are all great answers.
All right. I got a few more questions to run down. Lunar Knight asks, what DS series do you want a revival of on the Switch?
DS series specifically, huh?
Yes. Ooh. That's hard. I'm not sure. I would say I would love to see a new Jumpstars game.
Oh shit, yeah.
Dude. I know they did one of those, but also no they didn't.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't really the DS ones. So it'd be really cool to see a new jump game where like, or even if it was just like somehow published by Crunchyroll or something.
Yeah.
And they just got to use like all of the brands that they put out. So like you could have Chainsaw Man and Jujutsu Kaisen and like all these new series that have started since, you know, the Jump games had come out.
Yeah, and those Smash likes are pretty popular these days too, so I think that's a good pick. I'd go it's hard for me to remember like original DS series. A new retro game challenge would be amazing.
Oh, actually, yes. Okay.
I would love that.
Actually, the one I think of a lot, and this is my final answer, Trauma Center. I would love a new Trauma Center on the Switch.
Yeah, I could see that for sure. It seems like they like to do those games with like touch controls or like motion controls, though. So I don't know what they would do specifically. But I mean, I guess you could use the Joy-Cons for that. But
yeah.
All right, any more questions?
Yes, Ben Raymer asked, what's your favorite compromised port? For example, I'm playing Super Mario Advance 4, Super Mario Brothers 3, such a stupid name, and realizing I have a ton of nostalgia and love for this largely just fine rendition of Mario 3, and excited to get to the bonus levels I never got to play. So that would, you know, also be an answer for me. Because I also have a lot of nostalgia for that. And I booted it up on the Switch and was like, right, they put voice acting in here for some reason.
Yeah, they sure did.
I forgot. Why'd they do that? But other than that, I don't know what else I would answer that question with. It's do like, you have any that come to mind?
It's hard for me to decide what's a compromised port and what's kind of like a demake. Like, I love the Takara like fighting games on the Game Boy where they did like, you know, Fatal Fury 2 for the Game Boy and they did Battle Arena Toshinden for the Game Boy and Samurai Showdown and they're all like really good fighting games. I love those, but are those
like the Tony Hawk Game Boy games?
Yeah,
those are
it's like I love those. Are those, do those count? I don't know.
That's a good question.
I do love compromised ports. That's I feel like it's that is like such a specifically Nintendo thing. Like another one,
not necessarily.
Yeah, I guess because another one that comes to mind is Super Mario Brothers DX for the Game Boy Color. Like, even though you have like so that, little real estate, something about that port just makes me very happy.
That was one that Das Whalebeard mentioned, was Super Mario Brothers Deluxe.
Yeah.
I was going to point out Persona 3 Portable is a compromise port.
Oh,
and that's,
yeah.
It has nothing to do with Nintendo.
That's a good
one,
other
than
yeah.
the fact that you can play it on there now. And, I mean, is it the optimum way to play Persona 3? Some people might say it is. I don't think it is, but I still think it's a good port, and yeah. I enjoyed playing it. But yeah, I don't know. I'm sure there's other answers if, you know, spent more time thinking on it, but
yeah, man, I'm really trying to, I actually really love the, Game Boy Advance version of Final Fantasy VI, even though I know the soundtrack is like objectively worse. It has a much better translation. And the colors suck. So you can just patch out those colors, but I like the crunchy GBA soundtrack for some reason. Like, it's always just appealed to me a lot. And so yeah, that's one for me for sure, even though most people would think that's like heresy. I still love, like, you know, the SNES soundtrack, but I just like that Game Boy Advance crunchy soundtrack too.
I was gonna point out Lunar Knight responded to the question and said Dragon Quest VII for the 3DS because I'm
oh
a fucking pervert who thinks the original's intro is far and away the better one.
Yikes. Oh, I've got another one. The Game Boy Advance actually has a lot of these, huh? I'm thinking about it, and I'm like, you know, a lot of these Super Nintendo ports for the Game Boy Advance were kind of compromised ports. Oh fuck, I just had it, and then I had a brain fart, and now it's gone. Shit.
So another one that I can think of while you're trying to recall that would be SimCity for the Super Nintendo.
SimCity for the Super Nintendo?
Sim City.
I don't. What is that?
S-I-M City.
Oh,
Sim.
Sim. I thought you said since. I think I was hearing fucking like fucking comic book.
I was like leaning into like my microphone and enunciating into that as if that was helping you at all.
Press B to rip off this guy's testicles. No, yeah, like I yeah, you're right, that's a fantastic port. Is that compromised? I don't know enough about SimCity to know, but I've always heard people say they love that one a lot.
I mean, I could be wrong because I also don't know enough about SimCity from that era, but I thought it was, but maybe it's not.
Oh, I just remembered what mine was. So there's a port of the original Lunar game for the Game Boy Advance called Lunar Legend, where they like condensed the story and kind of like took away the anime cutscenes and swapped them out for like big animated sprites. And it was the first way I played Lunar as a kid. And I've always really, really loved that version of Lunar, even though like the Lunar fandom considers it like a travesty. I think it's still a fun port. And if you haven't played Lunar and you just want to get through like a nice little, you know, 20-hour playthrough, it's a great way to do it. So that's one of mine for sure.
All right. Last question from Bread or Cheese. They ask, if Gex Enter the Gecko was remade, what improvements, if any, would you like to see?
Oh, shit. What ways could you not improve that game? Physics, graphics, voice acting, just everything.
You know, I can't think of any issues with Gex Enter the Gecko. Nothing comes to mind. I don't know. I guess maybe put in a rhythm game.
I think that, like, God, I think if that game came out today, it'd be so cringe because it just, I think it would be great if they either,
you think?
If they either, well, no, I just mean like if they made a version of it today that was like, you know, referencing like pop culture.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Like,
remember Duke Nukem Forever? It would just be that again.
But part of me is like, maybe you just lean into the cringe, or you go all out and hire some like really good ass writers to like write some really funny shit, and you just make it like a parody of like the game industry. I think that could be pretty funny. Like, you just like Gex is making jokes about like how many people got laid off when the game was completed or something. It's like like I think there's ways you could make it funny and like, you know, self-referential without being super cringy. So yeah, I think like really good writing that would like, and I think the other thing is just like, they've got to lock those controls down, like just make him feel really good to control, with an analog stick. And I don't know everything. That's my answer. I do think the overall vibe of Gex, like it's something about it has stuck with people over time. So as far as like, you know, visual art direction and the way that the levels look and stuff, I think that stuff you can hang on to, but pretty much everything else is going to need a lot of updating.
Yeah, for sure. Well, that is kind of it for the episode. So thank you for listening, and thanks for sticking with us. We also want to give a big shout out to the people that let us use their music. I'm just realizing we're just like, just so just going right into the exit right after talking about a potential Gex remake. Just how stupid that is just kind of hit for me. But what isn't stupid, what isn't stupid are the wonderful people that let us use their music for our intro and outro. Our intro is Time Trials by Hyper Potions, and our outro is Hut by the River by Sound Market. And they are both fantastic. And while you're leaving us a 5-star review on Spotify, you can go look them up and listen to some of their awesome, awesome tunes.
Love that little cross promotion. That rocks.
Yeah, I'm good at it. All right. But yeah, thank you for sticking with us. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next time. Don't know what we'll talk about. Probably more video games, I guess.
We said that last time too, and we had a lot to talk about this episode. So I'm sure we'll find something.
I don't think they're gonna put out another direct between now and then, and
I don't know, man.
A Metroid remaster.
I was hearing on Twitter that there's a new direct next week. It already leaked, and they're announcing F-Zero in 4K
and Super Mario RPG 3.
Yes, and yeah. Geno for Smash Gex, finally. They're doing a third wave
Gex remake.
They're doing a third wave of Smash Brothers DLC too. And they're gonna shadow drop the Switch too. I can't wait.
And they're gonna announce the fifth wave of Ska.
All right, we'll see you guys next week.
Okay, love you. Bye.
Bye.